Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome in to the WrestleMania 41 edition of Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. We are 2 days away from WrestleMania in Las Vegas. Rob and Chris are here with me to break down both night one and night two from Allegiant Stadium. Before we get into anything, how do you guys feel about the build of this? I think, you know, it's been a couple months since the Rumble. It's the latest WrestleMania has ever been. So, like, naturally, there's been a lull to some of the feuds. Some of the feuds took a little bit to kick into high gear. I think your two main events had to be played a little bit closely. So we haven't seen a couple superstars, and then they've been off, non. How do you guys feel about the build to this particular WrestleMania?
So, if I may go first, I'll be honest here, and I think this is the first time I've like thought this in my head and expressed it. Compared to previous years, I think my attachment to this level of programming that they have right now is slightly diminished. Reasons for that are pretty obvious. Obviously, Bayley's on the show. She wasn't a central figure. Since August, she was, I think, going upstream. It was tough. And admittedly, after the title run ended, I've taken a while to just get back into it after I put and sunk so much personal investment in everything that involved her return, the damage control arc, and everything else. So I don't feel the things that I felt last year going into WrestleMania from that level, and even from the level of wanting Cody to win the title over Roman after what happened in 39, just for so many reasons. I wasn't somebody who, you know, and everyone had their reactions. I didn't believe that was the end of it. But, you know, at that point with what happened with The Rock at first and then switching back, there was so much going into that. But you felt it was bigger than anything else, like the WrestleManias every 10 years feel as hits. So from that perspective, it's worse than it was last year for me. As far as the overall stuff, you know, I usually like to think about it not on the whole like everyone else does, because that's not usually how Mania builds go. Last year, we were wondering if Bianca was going to wrestle Tiffany Stratton in like March, because she didn't have a clear direction for Mania, and not everyone's directions were so clear for Mania. And even in years past, matches have been made with, you know, 6 days to go.
Mm-hmm.
So you look top down and you see what the big programs are, and they're the ones that carry it. I think Cody and Cena have had some great segments. I think The Rock not being there has hurt it. And I think that it's hurt it because you need the why to things. And it's like, Cena's done a good job of explaining it, but he hasn't explained why he sided with The Rock. And The Rock hasn't been there to explain why he chose John Cena to do all that. We're probably not going to get that explanation unless The Rock and Cena show up on Friday. Cena's supposed to show up on Friday on SmackDown. But even then, it feels a little too late for that. Yeah. I will say that I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm saying that like something like that could have obviously enhanced things, because you want clear direction, you want a clear reason to have this person as the enemy, especially because Cena can't be a heel all year long anyway as it is. So when that eventually happens and he breaks from it, you have to hope that they insert the weight there, otherwise it's just going to be a, okay, that happened sort of thing for something that really had a lot of weight to it. And on Raw, obviously I've really enjoyed Gunther and Jay. I've enjoyed it a lot more than I think some people have made themselves, you know, they had to make their stance clear or whatever on it. I think it's been a great buildup to it. It was a great buildup to the Jimmy segment where he bled, and that use of color was not just surprising, but telling of where both men stand, because I know Jay is, you know, he's a Fatu. He's not a traditional top guy or what they think or what people think are top guys. Gunther is deviated from top guys, even though he is one, but he's not, you know, Seth or Roman or, you know, the big dogs. But they were able to use color for their feud in their program. So it's not just, oh, Cody gets the juice or Roman gets the juice or Punk gets the juice. No, they're being a little more liberal with it while still not doing it all the time, which I think is good. And it enhances things. So yeah. That's been great. Whatever I think of the writing for Rhea, Bianca, Io, and whatever I think of the nonsense that's happened with Charlotte and Tiff, I have no doubt those matches are going to be really good and are going to make me forget about forgettable builds like they usually do anyway. I mean, the build to Bianca Sasha was nothing special. The build to the first triple threat, I know the match was at the end of a 7.5-hour escapade, but the build was all over the place then also, but they still regarded it as historic. The Rhea Charlotte build was basically nothing. And that match is amazing.
Yep.
So like as long as they deliver and stick the landing, we're fine. If on Monday they don't stick the landing, we're going to have an interesting conversation.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, you kind of laid it out perfectly. Like, I haven't really liked the build, especially compared to the last 2 years. There's not, you know, that tentpole moment that, you know, it's all leading to with the two Roman Cody matches. Because, like, you know, Roman and Punk and Seth, I, you know, just for like custody of Paul Heyman, whatever, that's not for me, but I'm sure the match itself will be fine. And that's kind of, you look up and down the card here, that's kind of my thoughts on a lot of this stuff at this point. Like, none of these matches should be, you know, actively bad. It's not like we're looking at, you know, this is going to be WrestleMania 27 or this is going to be, you know, yeah, WrestleMania whatever. Like, it's going to be at least average just because of the talent that they're using. So, like, any complaints about the build at this point, you know, 2 days before the event, it's like, well, we're here now. So, like, you know, it doesn't really matter as much. I actually, you know, you talk about Gunther and Jay. I think that's been the best build. I don't think it needed like 3 months, but, you know, he won the Rumble. It kind of is what it is. It's what you do when you change the date of WrestleMania like this. But yeah, I mean,
yeah,
you know, the build has been interesting, I think is a word for it. I don't think it's been as good as the past couple of years, but like, it's diminished my excitement level, but I also know, you know, Saturday night, 6 o'clock or whatever, I'll be locked in and, you know, ready to watch because it's WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think, you know, at the end of the day, you're excited for WrestleMania, which is a good segue to the beginning of this recap or preview, excuse me, of WrestleMania 41. The very first time that WrestleMania was out in the valley in Las Vegas, Nevada, was all the way back in 1993. Caesar's Palace had an outdoor arena that they would use basically in the parking lot for big events, for big fights. There was it Ali and somebody? I forget. Ali and Sphinx, maybe. Fought at Caesar's in the outside, or maybe it was Ali Frazier. I can't remember. But they use this the parking lot of Caesars back then. Like, the strip was, you know, growing. It wasn't like it is now with, you know, Bellagio and Venetians and all these different, even the Fountain Blue where they're going to be posted up at for this weekend. They Peacock put out a documentary a couple of days ago. They had some found footage of behind the scenes, the makings of WrestleMania 9. Did you guys happen to catch that?
No, not yet. I am looking to watch it hopefully today or tomorrow, because I have been interested in it, because those found footage things are awesome. And that event isn't very good, but the whole like making of it and like environment actually makes it not the worst WrestleMania just because how cool it looks. So I'm interested in diving into that.
Yeah, I've been waiting for, you know, right moment, right opportunity. It's going to be raining most of the weekend here in St. Louis, so we're going to have plenty of opportunities to put that on. Mania 9, yeah, it's really a weird event because, like, there's some outward bad stuff. The head shrinkers and Steiners is clearly the best match on the show.
Yeah.
And, I'm not saying that the Hogan stuff with Bret and Yoko wasn't bad, because it was obviously terrible.
It's terrible.
But if that doesn't happen, Bret and Yoko, they had a good match.
Yeah,
before all the bullshit. I think they topped it the following year at 10, obviously. But yeah, I'm definitely always interested in those found footage things.
It is.
It's always really cool. That was always a fun add-on for all the WWF pay-per-view home videos that they always had. Just the backstage raw footage or whatever from backs
I wish I had the money for these VHSs. I ain't had the money for WWE VHSs back then. They was charging an arm and a leg for them motherfuckers. It's a very polarizing WrestleMania, to say the least. It's not 11. 11's garbage. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone can agree it's flat-out garbage. And why people can agree that there's some stuff that happens in this WrestleMania that's garbage. It is kind of an entertaining show, just the spectacle at all. You know, they mentioned it. It's really the first time that they use the custom sets, and they really put some stank on WrestleMania for this one. There is some generational lying by our boy Terry that you guys will be very, very happy to see and hear. But it's otherwise good. If you get an opportunity to watch it before WrestleMania, maybe if you're, you know, waiting for Saturday or Sunday and you got some time on Peacock, go give it a 2-hour watch. It's pretty entertaining. But yeah, first time they'll be in Vegas since then. This time they'll be at Allegiant Stadium. Vegas has grown so much that now they have sports teams and the Raiders play there. And they'll be doing it in a nice big toaster oven of an arena. We were all there SummerSlam 2021, which was their first big show after the pandemic. So interesting setup then, because they used the tunnels to the corner where, you know, the football players will usually come out, not like, you know, how we usually see a WrestleMania set. So this one will be much bigger, much more elaborate. Judging off the set designs and the sneak piece that we've seen online, looks like they're going for like a hotel look. So that's going to be interesting. You know,
yeah.
you did the Romans for Caesar's Palace, and now you go full Vegas with this one. So it looks like it's going to be particularly interesting. As I try to figure out loopback, because Jesus Christ, loopback is killing me. Let's start with night one. And we got a World Tag Team Championship match between the champions, the War Raiders, Eric and Ivar, and the New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. I'm not as jazzed up for this match, but I understand why it's on the card. Where do you think this is going?
You know, it kind of feels like it's weird to kind of just throw this on there because the Raw tag division like isn't great. So it's like, is Big E going to come back? Maybe like it seems like there's something up here, but maybe there's not. Maybe they're just giving them a match, I guess. But like, it's weird that, you know, the SmackDown tag division, I think, has been objectively better, and they are wrestling on SmackDown, which I know the SmackDown before WrestleMania has become a thing, like the Raw after WrestleMania. But like, it's a strange match to include. It's definitely, I think, the outlier of night one in terms of like intrigue. That's like kind of feels like something might be up, but yeah, I don't know. It would be cool if Big E's back, but like, I don't know after what the New Day kind of disposed of him when they turn heel. I don't know if he's just going to come back and like everything's cool now, but yeah, it would be cool to see Big E again. But yeah, this is probably the weakest match on night one, unfortunately. And, you know, credit to all these guys for being on there, getting a Mania match. But like, yeah, it's there's not a lot here.
To me, it's not a matter of what's been the better division, because first off, that hasn't always like mattered in terms of
for sure
the meritocracy in terms of things, because if that, I mean, I understand that, like, in the past, like, yeah, Raw Tag Division in 03 didn't make Mania. They were on Heat, and the SmackDown Tag Division made Mania. But, cause, I mean, they could have been scared off of the reactions that happened at Indy in the big stadium show when they did DIY versus MCMG. And to be fair, they didn't get too much of a reaction for that. And even the Street Profits coming out, I mean, that wasn't like a huge reaction when that happened. So even though it might be better work rate wise, I think that New Day, I guess, are probably more over, I guess, and more, and I guess from that perspective, just up higher on the ladder. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, I think Big E has a potential opportunity to show up here and muddy up the New Day's chances of winning here. I think that would be an ideal reason to have this on the card. And again, I just break from the idea that it should be the Profits and MCMG on the card because it's been a better division. That's just, it's not often the case. And I just don't feel like it's strong enough of a reason to put on the card. I think they'll do a great job. They're probably going to get like 3 or 4 segments on SmackDown, probably way more time than they would on a WrestleMania to do the match that they want to do, which I think also helps for a division like SmackDown with, you know, all the, with their attention to work rate. Works better in a venue like that than in a venue of, you know, 60, 70,000 or 45, 50,000, whatever they're doing. I don't remember what it was. I know Allegiant is much smaller compared to everything else. But as far as who wins this match, I would say the Viking Raiders will retain with the help of Big E over the New Day, who will just be put in their place now by Big E.
I'm going to go with the New Day winning the championship belts, and then they start bragging. Because here's what I think. Big E is going to be at ringside doing commentary, because they like to do this thing where they have an extra person be on commentary. I think Big E's going to be that person. I think they'll win the titles. They'll gloat in Big E's face. I think Big E will essentially do what CM Punk did to Drew last year and then not beat them up, but kind of, you know, distract them a little bit, maybe kind of gets a slight comeuppance on them, and then War Raiders will also help in the beat down. And then, you know, despite losing the titles, they'll do this goofy thing when they celebrate with Big E at the end. That's what I think is going to happen. Is it kind of lame and goofy? Yes. Does it kind of help out with the New Day storyline while also giving the New Day a tag team win? Yes. Think about this. New Day, and correct me if I'm wrong, New Day's never won a match at WrestleMania together.
Yeah, just I don't believe so.
Going through all the New Day matches I can think of in my head where they were together, I don't think they've won a WrestleMania match. So this would be a big one if they can get a dub here. So I'm gonna go with New Day and then shenanigans after the match. That'll be my guess, my uneducated guess. Moving on, we got Rey Mysterio singles match against El Grande Americano. There's a lot of people that just hate the gimmick, and I don't see why you can hate this gimmick. It is so funny. From down to the band of music playing, it's perfect. It is perfect. Chad Gable found himself a gem of a gag. This is a Kurt Angle level gag. You want to talk about like Gable being Kurt Angle light? This is some early 2000s Kurt Angle type shit right here. It's so funny. And hey, could this also be the spot where, oh, the heel gets the win, and then we do the shenanigans afterwards. Could absolutely be. I don't know which way to go. I'm just going to say Rey Mysterio gets the win, because that's how it should be. The El Gran Americano should not be the one to walk out of here unscathed, doing the whole America bit, because that's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a gag on where we are as a country right now. Chad Gable's doing it really well.
Yeah, I agree. They did change it, I think, back to Gulf of Mexico from Gulf of America. I think they did go a little too far with...
I disagree. I think that was the best part about it.
Fair. Yeah, I mean, listen, the match itself is going to be very good. I mean, Rey Mysterio and Chad Gable. I understand, I think, why people are a little sensitive to the gimmick, you know, in these times, but also, like, you know, it's a guy wrestling, it's a dog heel wrestling under a mask and pretending
he's an idiot.
Exactly. Like, you know, it's like when Hogan did the Mr. America thing. It was all kind of a play on Vince. This is all just a play on Chad Gable. Like, he's dumb and he thinks everyone else is dumb. But, like, yeah, I think the match itself will be good. I'm going to also go with Rey just because, you know, he's Rey Mysterio and I'm not going to bet against him. And maybe, you know, he takes Chad's mask off after and then he just goes back to being Chad Gable. I mean, I don't really see after Rey Mysterio where this whole thing really goes.
Yeah, this isn't a long term.
Because he's kind of, you know, the top luchador. Yeah. And, you know, Chad Gable took Dragon Lee's mask off, so Rey would probably take his off and be like, oh, it's been Chad Gable the whole time, and then we'll go back to whatever. Maybe he'll move to SmackDown or whatever when they do a draft in a couple weeks, and they'll kind of reset if they do a draft. I assume there's one coming at some point, but...
It's money. You know, just they have to be doing it at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, but... And so, yeah, I think it's going to be Rey. I know a lot of people are concerned that, you know, what if the president shows up for this match? I don't think, you know... I think if he's going to show up,
cut it out.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous.
How does that make any sense?
Well, I will say this. It makes sense from the standpoint of he's already showing up at TKO's other property. So why would he show up at the property that he is WWE Hall of Famer? I don't think he will.
Why are we fear-mongering that he's going to show up in a match about a guy who's being an idiot?
Yeah, exactly. If he's there, he'll just be like...
If he's there and leads into a stupid bit, he doesn't realize he's being made fun of.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
He wouldn't sign up for that.
He's not showing up. If he does show up, which I don't think he will, it's not because of that.
So like, he's not doing an angle.
You don't have to fear-monger that it's going to be a part of an angle. But like, the possibility of him showing up is still exist.
No, that's been dumb, I think. That's been people doing too much. Like, again, I see some of the issues that they have with the character, but that, yeah, I think that's too far. But, yeah, I think Rey's going to win, and I think he's going to unmask him after.
I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I don't see the issues that people have with the character because he's a dumbass who thought he could go to Mexico to become a luchador.
I'll say this. I get that they don't understand the nuance of it, which is really upsetting to see people not understanding the nuance of the character. If this goes back to what I say all the time, wrestling is racism. Trace it back to the early stages of professional wrestling, where the gimmicks needed to be, you had an American, a white guy, blonde, blue eyes, who was fighting hard for his country. You got the Russian, you got the Iranian, you got the black guy who's just muscular and kind of dumb looking. Wrestling is racism. So this is playing off of those bits. This is classic professional wrestling. So I kind of hate that people don't understand the nuance of it, is that they're poking fun. This is an absolute gag on where we are as a country. But hey, people just want to fucking feign shock when Roman Reigns starts talking about Donald Trump. Like, oh, we didn't know. We had no idea. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
I know.
Come on.
Please.
All right.
He's been a millionaire for how long now?
Exactly.
Like, that's really the other thing that, like, I think fans are just feel, especially the ones who are online, they feel too connected to the wrestlers and don't realize, like, yo, these people are not in your tax bracket.
No, it's very parasocial.
They are not. I'm gonna keep it a buck. It's a very good case that a lot of the Samoans, at least the Florida ones, probably are.
Mm.
Well, that's the other thing. It's from Pensacola. Like, what do you?
Pensacola is right below fucking Alabama.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on. Okay. So, interesting fact about Rey Mysterio, if you guys weren't aware. He's only really been working WrestleMania lately because he worked Mania 39 against Dom. He did Payback 2023 in Fastlane, did Crown Jewel, Mania last year, not a single premium live event after that. Then he did the Rumble this year, and now he's back on the Mania card in a singles match. So he's getting that cushy Mania spot that so many other veterans before him have gotten. Now I have a thought about where we're going with El Grande Americano. I think that he's going to beat Penta for the Intercontinental title at some point soon.
Okay.
I think that's where we're going, because we started with Gable and Penta, and that match is what caused Gable to go off to Mexico to learn the dark arts of Lucha Libre, as he said. So I think actually Gable is going to win this match. Well, I shouldn't say Gable. Grande Americano is going to win this match. I think the mask spot that was brought, I think that's interesting. I think that Mysterio is going to go for his, but Gable is going to instead unmask Mysterio, or attempt to. He's going to get distracted. He's going to be able to get the win after that. I think he's going to get a little dastardly here, because again, I think that all roads lead to El Grande Americano beating Penta for the Intercontinental title, and then revealing that he was actually Chad Gable, where he thinks he's pulling a fast one on everybody, but wasn't actually, because again, he's a moron. And that's where I see this is going.
A third match here is been building for, you could say a better part of a year, at least, extended to, but.
Indeed.
Jay Cargill and Naomi. It's turned into somewhat of a blood feud, if you will. I didn't think Jade would be the face in this. It seemed like Jade was going to be, between Bianca, Naomi, Jade, that Jade would be the one that's the heel. But I think they played it smartly, because they know the crowd likes Jade. They want to cheer Jade. And Naomi's trying something different. We haven't seen Naomi play the heel in 9-ish years.
No.
Like, they were doing bad, B-A-D. Bad.
Yeah,
Beautiful and Dangerous.
That's it.
Yes, Team Bad, Beautiful and Dangerous. And even when Naomi was doing that, as I recall, I'm not trying to disparage her work, but she was not the worker that she is now than she was then. So it was tough. And she didn't even get that much leverage as a heel in Team Bad, because the star was Sasha.
Right.
Yep.
And the teams weren't as, strongly connected. And then Naomi eventually would turn face, as she was still part of Total Divas. But yeah, she's doing something different now, and it's fantastic, I think.
Yeah.
The thing about Naomi, when she came back, it took her a little bit to get going. I think once she teamed with Bianca, she really started getting more confident, and she's really turned it around. She's been a great worker in the ring. I'm pretty excited for this match. It feels like the smart play, in storyline, is for Jade to just kind of come out and Ultimate Warrior her and win very quickly. But I don't know if they're going to do that, because, first of all, it's not the best optics for your first women's non-title match in 20 years or whatever to go like that. But also, I don't know if there is still heat on Jade for whatever happened, over the fall and winter. So I don't know if she's going to come out and get a dominant win like that.
Keep it a buck with you. Keep it a buck with you. One of the women who were talking about in this situation where Jade had heat, one of these women that are on the WrestleMania card is Jade.
Yeah.
I don't know what other.
Yeah. True. Mm-hmm. Very true. So yeah, I mean, maybe everything's fine there. It wouldn't make sense for Naomi to win from a storyline perspective, is my thing.
I don't know about that one.
I guess it depends if you want Jade's first loss to be, here, or if you want to save it for Bianca or whatever. But then the undefeated streak becomes the whole thing, kind of like they did in AEW, where
positioning that when we're going to inevitably do that, Jade's still going to be a face, but she has to be working still upward, because I think, and we'll separate that conversation when we get to night two, I think Bianca still needs to win the title and then continue to go up the ladder. But I mean, we'll continue on with what you were saying, but
I think Jade should win, but I think Naomi is going to win.
I'm not of the, necessarily of the opinion all the time that, you need to lose to be broken down or whatever and build back up. But I think that for someone like Jade, and just, in general, you want to avoid undefeated streaks as quickly as you can, because it's just it just leads to nowhere, especially if you want to keep it going. And I don't think that they need to in this case, and I don't think that they shouldn't make this sort of a trilogy, or at least a series of matches. I don't think that this needs to just be a one-off. I think there's too much heat here for it to not be a one-off. And speaking of heat, my hot take here is that while I think that it's great that they're doing a non-title singles match with the women at WrestleMania, I think that's awesome. I think that that's something that should have happened a while ago. And, you know, it's great that, you know, the push for it finally reached here. I'm not saying that, you know, she's not a good worker and that she's not great, but I'm wondering why Naomi isn't the United States champion over Chelsea and why this match isn't for the United States title.
I guess I wouldn't go as far as Chelsea. I'll say Lyra. Because, you know, of the two, I think Chelsea's earned her title and is entertaining with her title.
Well, Lyra's
the
having,
one where I'm like, I don't know why the fuck she's champion. Y'all don't present her as such.
Well, she's having... I don't get that one, because all they're doing is lining up opponents for her, and she just keeps beating them clean as a sheet. They just had her and Bayley go through and do all of that. Like, she's doing a good job.
I mean, you can line up opponents and she can knock them down, but like outside of that, when they pull her in, I don't feel her as champion. Just because you got great matches, that's dope. I don't feel your character. Like, respect to Lyra.
Why does she need a character within the first year of her? She's not going to get that fleshed out when she was working with PFC for like 6 months. It's gonna take time for her. I think the feud with this program with Bayley is gonna get her.
I hope it does.
It's not always immediate for everybody.
I hope it does. It's not doing it for me right now. And that's not to say she's not good or, you know, whatever. Between the two, I think Naomi would be better off as a champion. Sorry, between the three. Let's group Chelsea in there. If we had to do the three, I would say Lyra, to me, feels less likely as a champion. But, like, that ain't no shade.
I'm just saying, but Lyra wasn't in the U.S. title tournament, and Naomi was my point. I think they made the wrong decision in December.
Okay, so you're saying before the heel turn ever happened, they should have just won with Naomi as the first shoot. Okay.
Yes, instead of just having her reward for the heel turn just being Bianca's tag team partner, it makes sense. But I think if Naomi won the U.S. title as a consequence for Jade being out of the U.S. title tournament, that could have been even better, and also could have had way more juice for that title than I think it has right now, where I think that they kind of lost it with the Chelsea Meechan feud that went on for 3 months. Whereas Lyra, whether or not it's working for everybody or not, they've at least kept it interesting by having several opponents for her. So when they had that opportunity, I think they passed up somebody in Naomi who could have gone out there on a show with no workers, I don't think, besides Charlotte and Tiff, gone out there and done the work and helped others get over.
Okay, that part we were in agreement on. You know, if you had to do it again to further the storylines in place and the belt itself, because like, you know, Chelsea's great with the belt, but like, it's kind of like the belt, you know, is a prop for her. Not necessarily.
The belt is a prop for her, and she's not the way that they set up the rosters. There's no workhorses on SmackDown for her to work. She has to work people who aren't as fresh as Zelina, Meechan. She has Alba and Piper with her, but I think even that is more interesting than her as champion either. She could face either of them as challengers, and that would work too.
Yeah, like, let's say the shit that Bayley's doing with Lyra right now, if Bayley was doing that with Chelsea, then you got hits. Because you got a viable babyface who's proven and that people want to see win a championship, and Chelsea, who people love and we want to see her, you know, have a comeuppance.
Yeah.
Rather than having her work the good matches with Lyra, that's great and all. You know, great for Lyra to kind of pad her resume, but I guess besides that, it's not really hitting too much for me. You know, so like you're able to flip roles in that way, and you probably end up, you know, getting the US belt further along. And I don't know. Maybe if you had, and I actually do think you have competent heels for Lyra to work with. Like, you know, seeing Lyra with Bayley, that's great.
Of course.
Go ahead and do Lyra and Liv. Liv just coming off a fucking main title run, and now Liv's, you know, gunning for the other belt.
Yeah, they've kept them relatively apart. They Lyra and Liv, I believe, wrestled after Becky left, and they did, now they have the tag feud going. And then that would work for me. But okay, rolling back to Jade and Naomi, I think Naomi is going to beat Jade. Like I said, I think they never like the undefeated streaks to last too long anymore. And with someone like her, with everybody, a trend that they have is breaking people down to their lowest and building them back up. I think in Jade's case, if they want to make this a little more convincing for her not to just be shot right to the top, Naomi does need to gatekeep a little bit. And also, if we're talking about people who earned the right to have a nice, a nice moment that isn't going to be like overshadowed like it was at Mania 33 amid everything else, it's Naomi. She's earned a run of some sort, and she's earned a Mania win too.
All right. United States Championship match. LA Knight is defending against Jacob Fatu. I believe this is the first singles match for both of these dudes at WrestleMania. No. LA Knight had AJ Styles last year. My fault. How could I forget that big brawl at fucking Media Day? but this is Jacob Fatu's first WrestleMania. I believe it might be his first true shot at the U.S. Championship as well. He's winning.
Yes, it is, which I think is telling.
Absolutely fucking winning it. This man is earmarked for success that's on a different level in WWE.
He is. This match is also why I broke from Rob on his idea for Jade and Naomi. I think that's more likely for this match. Fatu, as has been discussed, he's a monster. He can probably destroy anybody, and the crowd would believe it. Fatu is also one of... Let me see. He's one, because I counted before, he's one of five Mania first-timers this year. It's him, Tiffany Stratton, Lyra Valkyria, Bron Breakker, and Penta. One person is not like the other there, obviously. But in terms of Jacob versus Knight, it's not if Jacob is going to win, it's how is he going to win and how quickly will it be?
Yeah, I think that is a good point. Like, I know LA Knight, people love him, but a good way to get Jacob kind of over is even more of a monster is just have him come out and demolish him. Yeah, I mean.
And that's a perfect reason why. You just explained it. People love him. Okay, so have him destroy one of their heroes. That's how you get him over as a heel.
Yeah, and then kind of elevates the U.S. title a bit too, because to win it does. That in that sort of dominant display,
because then the crowd will want the next defiant son of a bitch to come out there to beat, you know, Jacob up. It's easy money.
Yeah, I think of all of the matches on this card, the one that's most likely to be a squash. And maybe not even a squash, but the shortest match in the card, just help move shit along, would be this one. You know, because you know that Jacob Fatu has that killer instinct in him. And then for LA Knight, to be honest, he's got to get his shit off. That's all he got to do.
Yep.
Ain't like you got to see him That's for true. A prolonged match. Let him do the LA Knight. Yeah. Let him get his big moves in and then just get fucking pulverized by Jacob and lose the title. That's what you're here to do, man.
Yep.
That's what you're here to do. And hey, I think LA Knight might have surpassed the need of the United States Championship. I don't think he really needs to be in that scene. If you really want to make a main eventer, make a main eventer. Just get cracking.
Yeah, also true.
One of the most interesting matches this WrestleMania for the Women's Championship, Tiffany Stratton will defend her title against Charlotte Flair. We have talked ad nauseum about the shortcomings and you know, everything that's going on with this feud. Now it's time to pick a winner.
Well, I think there is a clear person who should win here, and it's Tiffany Stratton. And if Charlotte wins, I really don't know where you go from there, because, you know, you look at the SmackDown women's roster, there's not like a natural partner for her to feud with, I don't think. And also, like, what does it do for Tiffany to lose here? And what does it do for Charlotte to win? It's just, you know, another accolade for Charlotte at the time where people really aren't responding well to her. You know, we talked about that a lot last week. And honestly, I mean, I don't think, you know, rewarding her for you know, her part in this feud going off the rails, and, you know, Tiffany did whatever too, but like Charlotte, again, like we talked about, is kind of tasked with keeping things under control, and she hasn't been. So like, I think it'd be strange to reward her, and I think it'd be worse for the show and, you know, the division if she wins. So I'm going to go with Tiffany.
The problem that Charlotte is going to run into here, whether she wants to admit it or not, whether she, and I don't see, seeing her get her way is kind of an interesting thought anyway, because she came out there after winning, after her torn ACL or whatever, and then she had to turn heel because the crowd didn't like her. So if she got her way anyway, she'd be, this would be stubbornly continuing on with her being the hero. So that already, I think, is a little telling in this case of where the power resides. But it's clear, like you said, Rob, that Tiff should win and that Charlotte should lose. Because even if Charlotte wins, those cheers for Tiff aren't going away.
Yeah.
The dynamic of the feud isn't going away. And much like what happened at Mania 38, if you want to make a comparison, even though Charlotte beat Ronda, she still turned around and dropped it at Backlash anyway. So Charlotte would have to drop the title anyway, even if she won. She'd have another unmemorable reign just to add another counter to it. So really, if we're doing all of that just for that, it is a waste of time. I think that's worse than, you know, doing someone worse or doing someone worse over. It's just you're just wasting time by trying to go back and forth with it for really no reason at all. It's not like the competitiveness of Raw where, you know, you have Liv going to Rhea, to going to Io, to going potentially Bianca, or back to Rhea this Mania weekend, or staying with Io, where there's short-term reigns. This does nothing. This is nothing, and the crowd won't like it. It would just be we always panned them for not reading the room. That hasn't changed despite the role reversals here, and I just don't want to hear it in this case. It because if this is just about, again, it's about reading the room, even if you're a fan or if you're not, there's one clear answer that's going to make people happy. And people were upset for a long time that they weren't making people happy. They can't really go back on that at this point. So you've got to just give the crowd what they want. And that's Tiff winning. And I'm sorry if Charlotte is upset about that, but I think that much like other people have been attempting to, whether, you know, you think whatever or not, it's a bad time to think that you're bigger than the company. Look who they've let walk. Especially even in the division, especially among Charlotte's contemporaries. They don't care. They'll march on with the rest of the talent that they have. So if she wants to get upset, if she ends up losing, I've got bad news for how that's going to go. And I think that's really the fascinating part, is how the reaction to this match is going to be. Because the locker room clearly doesn't like Charlotte or how she's reacting to it. So it's like you risk poisoning the well. It wouldn't be a good idea. I think Tiff needs to go over. They're going to have a good match. That much I'm not concerned about.
To your point about Charlotte, I do not think that she is untouchable. I do not think that she is someone in this day and age on this roster, like you said, that isn't replaceable. She is not an irreplaceable person. In fact, she's wrestling a near clone of her.
Yeah.
Just a smaller version. In this match, WrestleMania, you mentioned all the girls who WWE decided not to, you know, deal with and keep around, and like, you know, respect to Mercedes, you know, totally understand it. You know, Charlotte not only has to be worried about that, but she also has to be worried about the girls who are coming in, because there is a Mariah May out there that's waiting to take her spot. You know, there's possibly a Britt Baker out there.
That's big news right now.
There's possibly a Britt Baker out there that's ready to take your spot. Never mind all the girls who are currently in the mid-card that want to rise up to that level. Never mind all the girls in NXT who have
jumped ship. Yeah, I was going to say, Steph Vacare.
Who have not just jumped ship, but then also grown within WWE. Yeah. There are enough girls ready and will be ready in the near future to replace Charlotte. So, like, respect, but if Charlotte want to go fuck off to AEW and just be Ashley Flair, that's not going to hurt WWE. So she has to be on her game, not only as a wrestler, but as a teammate when it comes to this match. Because if not, Won't be shocked in a couple years if we celebrating the debut of Ashley Flair on AEW television. It's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
We got two big matches. I mean, not obviously three. We just went through the one, but the other two, and I think they announced this officially as the opener. I saw some chat earlier today. I assume it's going to be the opener if they haven't made it official yet for the World Heavyweight Championship. It is Gunther defending against the Royal Rumble winner, main event, Jey Uso. And as much as I love Gunther, as much as I think that he is probably the best wrestler in the world, and has been for a minute, but now that he's been validated as such, he is the best wrestler in the world. As much as I do it, it's Jey Uso's time to be a champion.
Yep.
It is. You know, I think back to when we started this. They put up a 4-hour retrospective of the Bloodline and the story from the day Roman came back at SummerSlam 2020 to now. And I remember, you know, being on this show and calling Jey Uso a bitch every week. Every single week, I would call Jey a bitch because that's what the character that he was portraying. He was being bitched out every single week. You look back in retrospect over the last 5 years of the evolution of Jey Uso from a tag team wrestler to a main eventer and to winning Royal Rumble and being able to have a big match, main event match, quote unquote, at WrestleMania. And, you know, I look back and I say, man, that is one of the best evolutions in pro wrestling history. Whether or not you think he's a good wrestler, and I'm not here to say that he's a good wrestler, he still does the same super kick shit, and he's probably not going to change, right? But as a character, I never saw this type of evolution out of Jey, ever. To the point where he's probably more popular within the crowd than some of their biggest wrestlers in the company. It's amazing. So I want to see that validated. Jey's lost, what, 4 times now to Gunther?
Mm.
What's the point of having to lose again?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a slam dunk, especially if it's opening the show. Like, you know, he'll probably get a cool entrance. It's just going to be like, yeah, everyone will be doing the hand wave thing. And listen, I know people are going to be pissed about it. Gunther can win it back at Backlash or whatever. Who cares? Just it'll be a moment.
Even if he doesn't win it back, know. Like he's Gunther. Also,
Gunther's also not great as champion.
No, I don't think that. I think he's had a really good reign. I think his role and his character. Yeah, his role and character are very good. I just think that he's bigger than the world title. I think he's more primed to be wrestling the bigger dogs of the yard. So even if he loses, man, again, see the forest for the trees here.
Well, yeah.
Because we all think Cody and Gunther is going to be a big deal. They started the Rumble against each other. They ended the Rumble against each other or whatever it was. That's going to be a huge deal.
Well, they did it in
In Crown Jewel, I know. But, like, all I'm saying is, like, that's they could even do that on a bigger stage.
Maybe they were preserving that big way bigger win things. For another moment. At least I hope they are.
And really, like, yeah, and I think Gunther is the kind of person who understands that, like, he could be part of something like this on the other side of it, because someday he'll be on the reverse side of it and he'll have a big win at WrestleMania. I think even that, like, adds some, like, shock and alert to his character, because, like, he won in dominant fashion in the triple threat at 39, but then he'll have lost to Sammy in shocking fashion after a 666-day reign as Intercontinental Champion. And then he'll lose as world champion to Jey Uso in what they're going to call a huge upset. So then that just will eventually add to it when he eventually wins on and becomes a bigger monster. That's the thing about breaking down, is it usually leads to you becoming even better. That's why I never disagree with that philosophy, because that's usually what it's supposed to become. And I think that's what they're going to do with him, because he's too smart to not realize that.
Yeah, I was watching, who was he on? Ariel Helwani. And he seems like someone that understands the role that he needs to play for the growth of the business. And, you know, yeah, while he definitely wants his, he understands that in order to for money to keep rolling in, you know, the wealth has to be shared. You know, and so it's, you know, seeing how he handled the Sami Zayn stuff, and obviously it just you know, it took him to the next level because now it opened up, you know, for what he's doing now. You know, he seems like someone that understands, like, hey, it doesn't matter that I'm not, you know, last on the card. You know, it doesn't matter that the build has not been that great. Let me go out and get an all-time performance. So I low-key, I'm excited. You know, that's because Gunther's the lead, but then also because I know that, you know, the way the crowd feels for Jey Uso, this is going to be a real hot match. It's going to be an interesting match to be in the crowd for live. I'm excited for the energy. And then, yeah, whether or not we get that win, we'll see. But I think that's what's setting up. And I think, you know, Jimmy is going to come back and help him get it. So, and the main event, this big triple threat, probably the biggest triple threat to ever main event WrestleMania. Don't quote me on that or look at the record books. CM Punk finally main events at WrestleMania. He will have Paul Heyman leading him to the ring. He will have Paul in his corner as he takes on the man who Paul is the wise man for, Roman Reigns. And Roman's longtime frenemy, CM Punk's biggest hater, Seth Rollins. Now, the interesting part in this all is that apparently Paul now owes Seth Rollins a favor. So what could this favor be? I don't know. No matter what, I know we joked about it earlier, like this is for custody of Paul Heyman. But there's so many different avenues that this match could go. I know we mentioned, oh, if it's for the title, CM Punk's got to win. Well, I don't think CM Punk has to win at this point. For me, there's only one guy that has to win this match. It's probably the guy who's won every single big match in his fucking career. That's Roman Reigns. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that, yeah, Heyman turns on Punk, helps Roman win, and then you have a ready-made feud right there with Punk going for his revenge on Roman. Seth's there because Seth hates both of these people. And that's okay. You play a role. He's getting the main event of another WrestleMania. But this is about Roman Reigns and CM Punk at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's correct. I think whoever wins is going to probably pin Seth, I would imagine. I do think it's going to be Punk. I just don't think Roman's going to be around for the next few months, you know, till SummerSlam. And like, if you want to revisit Roman and Punk at SummerSlam, then it's obviously kind of ready made for you. Or even if you want to do Seth and Roman at SummerSlam, like it's already kind of ready made for you. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Punk. It is a little interesting, I guess, with this favor that, you know, Heyman and Seth have now. I've seen some people be like, oh, Heyman's going to align with Seth. I think that's one of the dumber things they could do, to be honest with you. I don't think it's a good fit for either guy.
No.
But the possibility's there. I think it's going to be Punk, you know, probably pinning Seth, and then maybe there's a rematch at one of the, you know, million pay-per-views they have between now and SummerSlam, and Seth finally gets a win on him. But like, it would surprise me, I think, if Punk doesn't win. It would almost surprise me more if Punk doesn't win than if Roman doesn't win, which is crazy, just because I think Roman's kind of been a non-factor this whole thing, more or less. And like, again, I don't think he's going to be around.
I mean, I don't think Roman's going to win, because I don't think that it doesn't work. Like, like you said, I don't think he's going to be around. And really, this whole thing has been about Seth and Punk. I understand that people have had complaints or whatever that they wanted Roman Punk, but like, this whole thing has been about Seth and Punk from the start. They were feuding going into the year. They started the year feuding. They had the cage match, the Garden, which Roman obviously interrupted. But like, this is between Seth and Punk. And I think after Mania, if Roman wins and leaves, like, that does nothing for Seth and Punk, who are still going to be there. And they're not going to not feud. And that's the other thing. Like, they have to add some heat to that feud. They have to have something to work with. So you can't just have Roman win in this scenario, because Roman hasn't worked after WrestleMania in God knows how long. I mean, it's been a long time. I mean, he did the stuff after Mania 37 in the Thunderdome, but really that was the last time that he was around in the months of April, May, and June, and not up to SummerSlam or whatever. I think that trend holds. And I think that Punk is going to win because he's the guy who gains the most from winning. But and he's going to try and go after the champion, but Seth is going to keep getting in his way. I think Seth and Punk are going to fight in the cell here. And I mean, really, to extend off of that, there's one person who isn't on WrestleMania this year who I'm led to believe at some point or another probably signed the richest deal for a woman to ever appear in the company. When is she going to come back? And if she's going to come back, and if her husband is deeply feuding with CM Punk, does that mean CM Punk's wife is also going to show up on the way here?
For a second, I thought you were saying that AJ signed the biggest deal for a woman. I'm like, wait, what the fuck?
No. I was saying Becky did.
Yeah.
I was saying Becky did. And then, you know, you have that. Because I think the way they're setting this up, Becky, of course, could come back and do all that other stuff. But I think also she has enough awareness to understand two things. One, she's never been somebody to, you know, think of herself over everybody else in the first place. And two, you've got all these popular women in the division, especially on Raw. It wouldn't hurt her to do the same thing she basically did with Trish in 2023, but this time with AJ and being involved with Seth and Punk, who again are down each other's throats. At some point, if Becky keeps being away, I don't think she has any plans with anyone in the division right now. And so, okay, my mind's going to go to there because it's a natural thing to think about. So I think Seth wins here. I think Punk wins here and he pins Seth. Roman does avoid the pin. I don't see Heyman going with Seth. I agree with Rob. I think that would be a terrible decision. Mm-hmm. That's like a swerve of Survivor Series 2002 level. And the problem is, Heyman doesn't need to be that central figure here, because is he really going to take another big bump and be out for God knows how long? They don't need to do that every time.
You say 22 or 2002? Because
that's what at least
for the summer.
2002.
Yeah, with the Survivor Series, the Brock and Big Show.
Survivor Series.
Oh, Survivor Series. Okay,
Big Show. Brock,
yeah. I've done that a lot.
Big Show, Brock, and Heyman. Yeah, they've done that so much, and they, because again, if he does that, that means that Punk has to beat up Heyman. Do people really want to see that? They just made a whole thing of him being in his corner.
But then also, so it's very like, clearly again, that there's two guys in this match who, from a talking standpoint, don't need Paul Heyman. They can talk for each other.
Right.
And they're also going to be there more often than Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is the guy that you like hearing him talk, but he's best in moderation. You know, when he speaks, he has something poignant to say. Paul's there for when Roman's not there. You know, so it'd be unfathomable, honestly, to see either one of them end up, you know, with Paul at the end of the day. So I think we're in agreement on two things. We're in agreement that Paul's not going home with Seth Rollins, and we're in agreement that Roman Reigns isn't taking the pin. The winner,
correct.
I guess we're also in agreement that Seth's not winning. So three things.
Correct. Yes.
All right.
Fair. I think that's fair.
Night two. Because we're already an hour into this. Night two. There's one match not here, and that is the Roman Reigns match. Sorry, Roman Reigns.
Randy Orton.
I know they teased Solo, but it's not official yet. Who do we think Roman Reigns is wrestling? Sorry, God damn it. You fucking R words. Who do we think Randy Orton, not that R word, by the way. I mean Randy and Roman. Jeez, get your head out of the gutter. Who do you guys think is winning, Randy Orton or whoever he's facing?
I see. It's such an interesting issue to have with them right now, because it's like you have Randy Orton. He can't miss WrestleMania. He's not going to, obviously, because he's in a match. They're going to do the Kevin Owens thing. It's on short notice that they have to cut from that. So it's like you understand that they're in an unenviable scenario where I think you have a guy in Orton who the crowd doesn't want to see lose, but they want to see him wrestle. And if they're going to have him wrestle an unannounced opponent, ideally, that opponent is somebody that the crowd not only cares about, but also could generate some sort of surprise or shock reaction. The problem is most of the people who would do that are out there, you dump cold water on them by having them lose to Orton, even if it is Randy Orton. It's like, why do you, okay, you did all that, but they still lost and they have to work back. So it's like, if you do a Rusev or an Aleister Black, okay, you did that. But again, Orton is likely going to win this match, so they have to start with a loss after a big debut or return pop. It's letting some wind out of the, taking some wind out of the sail. You also have people like, I don't know, Jeff Hardy out there who, you know, I think could get a big pop if he came out and he can lose. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, okay, you did that. What's next? You basically did that for the pop and for the circumstance, and that's fine. But that's very empty calorie. And then if you do solo, it's like, okay, I get it, but it does feel like that's a little bit of a letdown for WrestleMania. And it's no disrespect to solo, it's just the situation that they're in, and the crowd is going to probably feel let down. I don't envy them here at all whatsoever. This is a very tough situation to navigate. I just think Orton is winning no matter who he's facing. I have no idea how to call it.
I think Rob's a little busy. I'm just going to stick with solo. Oh, you're good. I'll go for the time being. I think I'll say solo just because I think it would be weird for solo to not have a match at WrestleMania.
That too.
That'd be what, 3 years after he's in the Federation and he doesn't have a match at WrestleMania after you just built him up to be, you know, the head of this new bloodline. You know, what does that mean? You're not getting Tama Tonga on the show at all? You know, just kind of, you know, sitting there watching Jacob. I mean, they could also be sitting there watching or sitting there getting an RKO. Like, what, I think that's a lot cooler is to see them picking up RKOs. But, I mean, yeah, I think solo would be the best because solo is the easiest that can lose and not face significant damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of the thing. Like, he wasn't on my radar before he came out last week, but like,
and he absolutely should have been. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, but like, you start going through the options of like guys that are available that you could bring in. It's like Miro is apparently back and he's in Vegas, but like, you don't want to bring him back to lose. No. You know, Aleister Black is another guy who's apparently coming in, but you don't want to bring him back to lose. Randy can't really lose because he's Randy, and I think he's facing John Cena for the title at Backlash. If not, he's going to be involved in the main event with Backlash, so like, you don't want him to lose and then come in. You know, Jeff Hardy's another guy, you know, he has history with Randy, but I don't think anyone wants to see him come in and lose. Like, so you start running through these options and it's like, well, there's only a handful of guys that make sense, and Solo's one of them. You know, no one's gonna care if he loses. They can go out and have a pretty basic 8 or 9 minute match. You know, Randy can play the hits like you said, and you know, it gets Solo a big spot where even though he is going to lose, he's still, you know, in that spot.
Yeah. Like I said, when he came out on Friday, I was like, oh, that's right. So like, I should have never forgotten that he just wasn't on a card for WrestleMania, because it seemed like he was a shoo-in to be on at WrestleMania somehow. But I think it would be the right move to me to let Solo get that showcase with Randy Orton, have the bloodline eat RKOs besides Jacob, obviously, and hell, you know, be nice to see Jacob kind of hold the belt at least for a minute. But I digress. Let's move on to the card that's announced right now. I mean, my hope is that you got some shenanigans on Friday with the WWE Tag Team Championships, and it creates, you know, a Fatal 4-Way or hell. I mean, already got a Fatal 4-Way or something, or a ladder match. I just think it would be kind of poor to leave that title off, but you know, we talked about it earlier, so it is what it is. Let's talk about one tag team title match that is up for grabs on that Sunday. It's the women's tag match. We mentioned Lyra Valkyria, Bayley. They will be taking on the champions Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. I'll let you guys decide, because I think you can go either way. I wouldn't mind either way.
Yeah.
You could go either way. I think that going either way, you know, I think there has to be a purpose served. Obviously, if Bayley and Lara lost, it would likely be because Bayley wants something other than the tag team titles. In her character, if I'm going to sound like a nerd, She has never been tag team champion with anybody who wasn't Sasha Banks. Even while Damage Control was tag team champions, she was not.
They didn't free Io and Dakota.
They did not freebird it, and neither did Asuka and Kairi. They did not freebird those titles. So it's not in her nature to be tag team champions with anybody else. So I will say that. The other argument, I guess, is that if Judgment Day is going to fall apart as they should, then some of their people need to start losing. And also, you just had Lyra beat, go wire to wire and beat all the teams in the gauntlet. I'm not saying that that was a bad decision. What I'm saying is that you just had the challengers beat all the other potential challengers leading to this match. So if Liv and Raquel just beat the team that beat all the other teams, you don't have a division.
Yeah.
You have champions, you have tag teams, you do not have a division. So that is the only thing. You went full throat, so that might beget a change, and I think that that change would be welcome. And like I said, even if, you know, you could have your opinions on Lyra or whatever, she's very strongly booked. She wins all of her matches clean. She doesn't win underhandedly, even against Bayley, even against Raquel. She wins clean.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been strongly booked enough.
She doesn't have to do the Liv's scrappy, also been strongly booked. Shorter, you know, wrestler that exactly. has to fight to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. She doesn't have to do that. She's never had to do that. So she's been decisive enough where I think that it's feasible to see them win. Flip a coin. I'll go with Bayley and Lyra just because. But this could literally go either way, and my mood won't be affected.
Yes. I think I'm also going to go with Bayley and Lyra. Again, like, Liv is going to probably have more pressing things going on with Judgment
Day. That's another thing I will say. Like, she's done a great job. It's the same thing that you think about Bianca. While she was tag team champion, she did a great job. People need to be in that division. Liv is a single star. She can't be tag team champion forever. So, and if you do that, then she could, you know, she could win the Intercontinental title from Lyra if they wanted Lyra to beat somebody bigger. Do the thing where, you know, last year Liv had to beat Becky to be world champion. Okay, well, Lyra can be a two-time champion by beating Liv if they want to do it that way. Where, you know, if she's double champion, she can only be double champion for less than like a month, have Liv win on TV or whatever, and just do it that way. So I think that freeing Liv up for singles gold is ideal, because I don't think Judgment Day is making it to the summer. And when it's just Dom and Liv and Raquel or whatever, she can't be a tag team champion. She's got to be the lead act.
All right, for the sake of being different, I'll make the push for Liv and Raquel. I think at least the two of them have legs. While Judgment Day might be getting ready to be dead in this water, I think the three of Liv, Raquel, Dom will persevere on its own. Because it absolutely can be. They've shown no cracks, you know, to me at least. Bayley and Lyra, there is that tension with the two of them wanting the Intercontinental Championship so bad. So that also can come into play. Also think Bayley winning last year has given her the leeway to eat a loss and probably be the one to eat the pin, because you don't want Lyra, your Intercontinental Champion, to be the one to eat the pin in that match. You know, so I'll go with Liv and Raquel to win this one. But yeah, like, you can go either way and I won't feel one way or another. We'll, you know, just end up having to see where you go from here. God, this might be my piss break, even though it might be a really good match. I'll say this, and if it winds up being controversial, cool. If it winds up being true, I love that for me. This has the potential to be the best match, non-main event, on the show. AJ Styles and Logan Paul. I think because you know the possibilities that is the possibility is there that Logan Paul, athletically gifted as he is, goes into the ring with AJ Styles, who is one of the best wrestlers of the 21st century. This has best match of the show besides main event vibes. Sneakily. It's just a matter if they could pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. You know, AJ is obviously, it's kind of crazy. This is his seventh or eighth WrestleMania, and like he hasn't had that, you know, standout match except the Shane match. Like the LA Knight match was good, but like he kind of does need.
I was gonna say, like, okay, yeah, the Shane match. You don't think the Boneyard match did out?
Well, yeah, okay, the Boneyard match is awesome, but like, you know, as far as like a straight up not cinematic match goes, he doesn't really have that big like WrestleMania classic. And you know, I think this could be an opportunity for him. A lot of people were upset that he, because they teased him and Bron Breakker like one time on TV after the Rumble, and everyone kind of thought, oh, maybe they'd do that.
They
and
really did. That's
obviously they didn't.
Think about that a lot.
Yeah, I know. And like, I know we all feel how we do about Logan Paul, and like the returns on his matches are a little diminishing compared to where they were, but this is one where I think he's going to ramp it up, and it's going to be a hell of a match. I think Logan Paul is going to win, unfortunately, because he usually does win more often than not in these, but I think AJ's finally going to get his kind of WrestleMania classic match, which is good. It's exciting. I'm happy.
Yeah, I would agree. I think AJ beats Logan. I think it's going to be, you know, athletically one of the better matches of the evening, and that's where I will leave it.
I'll go with Logan Paul to win. Let's move on to the Intercontinental Championship match. We kind of teased where we were going with this one based on night one. Bron Breakker defending it against Penta, Finn Balor, and Dirty Dominic Mysterio, although they dropped the Dirty. I kind of like Dirty Dom Mysterio. Again, any four of these dudes can win. You can make a case for any four of them. Matter of fact, I'm going to do it very quickly. Dominic getting his first mid-card title win, continues his ascension as a young, up-and-coming superstar, even though he's been in the business like 5-6 years in WWE. Finn Balor, classic Intercontinental Championship guy. Penta would be his first reign. Crowd seems to really like him. He's obviously a star, been a star elsewhere, so we know that he can hold that title with pride. And then Bron Breakker is going places, to say the least. But if we want Bron to get there quicker, then he loses that belt. And I think that for moving forward purposes, I know you mentioned the Chad Gable thing, Penta could lose it to anybody. But I think it would be nice for the crowd to see Penta, you know, win that one. It is Las Vegas. I don't take that lightly, that we are in a heavily Hispanic area of the country. There is going to be a lot of vatos in that crowd that want to see Penta win. I'm going to go ahead and give Penta the title, his first Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you on that. Like, I think the Judgment Day stuff can cancel each other out, so those two are accounted for. And yeah, I mean, Bron's done a great job with the Intercontinental title, but he is kind of slowly starting to outgrow it. And, you know, he would be a guy where if he's going to wrestle Jey Uso, I think he'd be someone that even the hardcore fan, or, you know, the big Jey Uso fans are fine with, you know, Bron beating him for that title, because everyone seems to like Bron quite a bit, you know, regardless of their other fandom affiliation. So, yeah, I think Penta winning actually makes a good amount of sense here.
You mentioned the fans.
I am going
Bron.
To
real quick before you go. Yeah. You mentioned the fans like Bron. I guess, is there an up and coming wrestler that kind of feels as tweenery as Stone Cold did than Bron Breakker? Not saying like he's hit that level of popularity. I'm absolutely not saying that. But just the fact that like the crowd don't care if you're a heel or a face. They really don't. They like seeing you for what you bring to the table. I don't think that we found that type of guy in an up and comer sense.
No, they just want to see him come out and just like spear the shit out of people.
That's all you want to do. Like he honestly can go both. Pause. He can go both ways. You know, he can swing your face. He can swing your heel. No one gives a shit because we just want to see him fuck people up. I love that about Bron. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with Penta.
Chris,
I am going to dare to be different. I'm going to say that Dom is going to win the Intercontinental Championship. He's going to pin Finn. And that's going to be part of the plan that I think him and Liv are going to try and execute. It's kind of my thinking in the sense of, if I'm going to say that Bayley and Lyra are going to win the tag titles from Liv and Raquel, Judgment Day isn't going to go over two on night two. So I think Dom is going to get the win, and then Finn will eventually find his way out of the Judgment Day. That's when it's going to start. You have to ignite that somewhere, and I think that's going to happen here. Penta is obviously, you guys laid a great case because he's a big star, and he's making a lot of money, and they might want to, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. I'm just going to be different. I'm going to go with the story of, you know, Judgment Day imploding, and that beginning with Dom pinning Finn. Because something, after all this labor and this back and forth, the snideness, the sarcasticness, and smarmy back and forths, something has to happen to light a match. And I think that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, like I said, any four of them you make case, and I think that's a really good case for Dom to further the dissolution of the Judgment Day, which, I mean, WrestleMania season is very popular for factions dissolving. So, yeah, we'll see. We got a Sin City Street Fight. Boy, I'm so happy that they branded this as a Sin City Street Fight. Because, like, truthfully, I love when you can twist off the New York Street Fight, the Chicago Street Fight. You know, you're going to, I hope you take them, you know, honestly, brain just fucking worked. You can start this match early and go full backyard brawl with it. Brawl with it. Have them go across the bridge, start fighting in Mandalay. Why not? let it go the whole fucking show. That would be so much fun. That would be a fucking fun ass match, and also a way to really stretch out the show and kind of makes other stuff matter. So that would be my harebrained scheme that just came up in my head. But if you're going to make a Sin City Street Fight, go all out. I want Drew McIntyre to win this. I'm going to go Damian Priest. You know, in this scenario, it's got to be the face that wins it. The face has to, you know, get the crowd going. I just thinking about it just makes me giddy. I would love to see that. I would love just random pop-ins, and now they're just fucking around in New York, New York. Let's do it.
No, that'd be great. First of all, like, making this a street fight in the first place, I think, add a lot, because this is a match that, like, both these guys are, you know, among the top guys, but it felt like it was missing a little bit of juice, and I'm kind of glad. Like, it's not a WrestleMania full of stipulation matches either, so this one does kind of stand out as one where, you know, it can really have a lasting memory. And honestly, all of Night 2 looks really good. I'm not going to lie, just as we're going through it here. Like, this is a tremendous-looking night of action. And like,
I think there's a reason that Night 2 right now, tickets are still pretty high, and tickets are dropping for Night 1.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the thing is, like, your idea is great. I don't know if they're going to do it. I wish they would.
I wish they do.
But yeah, just kind of in general, like, they're going to add stuff. And like, Priest is very good at these sorts of matches. We saw him do it against Bad Bunny, obviously. We saw him do it against Owens and Zayn when he won the tag titles with Finn a couple years ago. It's his type of match. And, you know, Drew seems to have a chip on his shoulder like he usually does, and I think he'll let that translate to the ring, and it should be a really fun match. I think Priest is going to win, but it should be a hell of a time.
I'm going to go with Drew winning. I think he needs a big win, and I think he's going to get it here. I think they've done a good job. I know that there's been a lot of talk about whether or not this is really worth it for Drew, whether this is bigger than him, whether it's not bigger than him, or beneath him. Either way, I think this is gonna be a fun time, and I think Drew will pick up the victory.
Yeah, I was totally on board with Drew, and so my dumbass plan came into fruition. But I really hope that they do my dumbass plan. Then we got two big world title matches on the card. You know, we figured it would be customary for the Women's Royal Rumble winner to get that spot, but that's going to Saturday night instead. This one's for the Women's World Championship, the triple threat between your Elimination Chamber winner, Bianca Belair, your former world champion, Rhea Ripley, and your current world champion, Io Sky. I'm going to have you guys give your winners, and I'll kind of make a case for everybody, but then give my final winner.
Okay. So I'm gonna I think I'm going to go with Io, to be honest with you. Again, she's kind of felt like the afterthought of this feud. Yeah, I don't want to put it like that, like afterthought, because she's been there and she's been. But like Rhea and Bianca are so focused on each other. What's stopping Io from just, you know, waiting for them to take each other out, hitting a moonsault, and then that's that? Because then you don't have Rhea or Bianca pin each other. You don't have one of them pin Io. You know, Io just gets the win. And then if you want to do Rhea and Bianca down the line, or if you want to do Rhea and Io in a singles match, or Bianca and Io, kind of the possibilities are all still there. So, like, I think Io winning here and then maybe dropping it at some point down the line, if they are doing Evolution, I think it is going to be Rhea and Bianca at that show for probably the title in the main event. But yeah, I think Io retaining here makes a lot of sense.
I don't know if it does or it doesn't. It's a great test of the theory that fans love to dole out, that, you know, a big feud of big stars can be for not for a title, while the champion can still do whatever they want to. The problem is that historically, that's just not how it works. And as popular, I think, as everybody in this match is, and everyone in this match is really popular, one person is more popular than all three, but they're actually the person I don't think is winning. That person is Rhea, for the record. I think that she's the most popular person in this match. She's one of the most popular people in the entire company. The unassuming champion who is actually good and is going to get a victory. Because if the whole point is that Rhea and Bianca are too focused on each other, they're not going to be focused on, you know, the champion. That's sort of what they did with The Rock and Kurt Angle and Triple H in 2000. Inside SummerSlam, the story was about Stephanie, Kurt, and Triple H, not The Rock, who was the champion. He went out and won the match, obviously, but Kurt eventually got that title, and there was no dispute about whether or not he was that guy, and people have their complaints about Triple H and him getting his stuff over. So again, it's just, there's too many moving parts. People are going to want to see Rhea and Bianca after it's been so long. So even if you have Io as champion, but you think in the back of your head, like, oh, okay, we're going to eventually get to Rhea and Bianca, then Io becomes a placeholder champion. And that's never good. I don't see any point in wasting any time here. I think Bianca is going to win. And honestly, I think there could be some sort of grand reveal here. Maybe Naomi gets involved because it's a triple threat match. There are inherently no disqualification in WWE. So that factor has to be involved here. Even if you want to say maybe Naomi gets some help from maybe Lash Legend and or Jakara Jackson to beat Jade Cargill to set up a front, and it could all conclude with Bianca winning the championship as, you know, a big shock or whatever going into the main event. I think that is possible. I think Bianca has waited on the sideline to be champion again. She's done her job. She's done her thing. And I think it's time. I think it's time for her to lead another division, and for her to, you know, enter a new world with her character, which I think she's done a really great job. No one's really talking about it because everyone's focused on a bunch of other shit with this program, but she's doing a great job with her character work and, you know, evolving into this person that she's becoming. So I think she's going to win the title, and it's going to be part of a scheme that she's going to reveal she's been plotting since November.
So I'm in line with both of you guys on a few things. Rob, I'm in line with you that Io kind of has been overlooked in this situation. And it's very easy for Io to, you know, walk away with this belt because the other two are too focused on each other. But we have two things at play here. Number one, we started this off with the understanding that this was most likely going to be Bianca Belair versus Rhea Ripley. Why would they then insert Io Sky to this championship match if they didn't have to worry about, one, Rhea pinning Bianca and ending her WrestleMania streak, or two, Bianca winning, continuing her WrestleMania winning streak, but now she's pinned Rhea Ripley and you've kind of lost that match, or you kind of decided between the two who you want to be your leader of the company in this first big major WrestleMania singles match between the two. And Chris, I agree with you. Rhea Ripley is the biggest star in this match. Now, of course, a couple years ago, it would have been Bianca Belair, but Bianca Belair's kind of had her moment. She continued to have moments, but I would say that probably is the facial peak of, you know, her career. So Rhea's on top right
now. Mania 38 was the peak for Bianca, and I think 2022 was the biggest year she's ever had in terms of her popularity.
Exactly. And Rhea, I was watching, did the Coldest Ball show with Kevin Hart, and you know, that's how they're showcasing her. Like, she's on top of the women's division right now. And I think you will end up getting that match. You'll end up getting Rhea and Bianca, and Bianca will eat that pin to Rhea, possibly at SummerSlam. Because, I mean, Rhea just had the belt for a little bit. She can be back on the chase. That's okay. But I can absolutely see Bianca Belair being the one. And I think they WrestleMania 24 this. And that we get a big riptide from Rhea Ripley to Io Sky. Bianca does something, you know, one of her finishing moves. Maybe a slap. You know, she uses the braid to slap Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
Goes for the pin for Io Sky. She continues her WrestleMania winning streak. She wins the championship. And then now you got a top heel Bianca Belair against the top face Rhea Ripley. Kind of exactly how it was in NXT, but both of them on an elevated level. So that's where I'm going to go with that championship match. Let's get to the main event. This is the big one for the...
Yes.
I didn't know they're still calling this the Undisputed WWE Championship. Ugh. I was watching CBS Sports earlier, and they were referring to it as the Undisputed Champion. And I'm like, that's not the Undisputed Championship anymore. What are you doing? But that's how it's still being referred to, I guess.
It's not 2002, and you have another world championship. Why are you like...
Yeah, so it is disputed.
Yeah, and also it's like, I don't want to relitigate this conversation because I thought it was nonsense, but people were saying it was a runner-up title. If you still have something like this for your big title, it does kind of make it look like a runner-up title.
Well, it's technically the same lineage as the WWE Championship. It's just they folded them all together.
But just call it the WWE Championship.
Well,
the word undisputed?
You don't well, because, you know, it's a real combat sports term, so...
Well, yeah, then why isn't any other title?
Used when it actually is an undisputed champion, not when they have an interim.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's dumb. I mean, you know, they should just call it the WWE Championship, just be WWE and World Heavyweight like it was when they had two titles, you know. But, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Cody Rhodes defending against John Cena. Where do you guys think it's going?
Well, I think it'd be weird to do all this and then have John Cena lose. And
yeah, that's the thing.
You know, like, Cody's obviously done a great job as champion. I just don't know if he beats Cena. You know, it's been a year. Like, what do you do from here? Like, who's going to finally beat him? Like, not every title reign can be, you know, multiple years anymore. And, like...
No, they can't do that.
But, so, it's interesting because, again, I don't think any of us think that Cena's going to be a heel all year.
No.
So he's going to have to turn back at some point. So that's going to be interesting if he is champion. Honestly, like, Cody's been, he hasn't really had time off since he got hurt. And, you know, once he came back, he just hit the ground running, did, you know, every show, pretty much every TV on both shows, you know, et cetera, et cetera. He could lose and go away for a little bit and then, you know, maybe come back. I don't know if he's going to pick the feud back up with Cena or what. I think Cena's going to win. I think the big question is, like, is The Rock going to show back up? Are we finally going to get that loose end tied up a little bit? And then from there, you know, there's a couple opponents that you could do for Cena. He can, you know, wrestle Randy, obviously. We've talked about, you know, Saturday night's main event, kind of build up a SmackDown babyface real quick to work with him. So, yeah, there's opportunities there for Cena. It just... They are going to have to turn him back at some point. That's going to be interesting to follow. And yeah, I mean, it feels like we do this with a lot of the top guys after every WrestleMania, but it feels like Cody should take a little break, you know, maybe have The Rock come back or whatever and take him out again. I don't know. It's just, it's interesting. There's a lot of missing pieces here still along the build. I'm excited for the match itself, but like it's interesting. It's not that I even like don't know where it's going to go. I'm fairly confident that Cena's going to win. It just, I don't know what they're going to do to kind of make it a big show closing weekend closing moment, other than Cena just winning and passing Flair, which is weird to celebrate when he's a heel.
Well, that's, but sometimes things can be off-putting on purpose.
Sure.
And I think The Rock is obvious. I think Rock is definitely going to be there for Mania. I think the thing about Cody and Cena right now, I don't think Cody's going to take a break. He's too much of a madman. What I do think is that he's a really, really, really good chaser. And him chasing after Cena and The Rock, again, it's two generations of the company that are trying to bring him down. Cody can't just beat Cena in his match.
No, exactly.
Because if he does, I don't want to say that like everything is rendered pointless. It's not, because that's not really how it goes. It's just like, okay, now what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cody has to, for this to all work, I think Cody has to lose at some point to Cena. So it's another thing like with Charlotte and Tiff, where it's like, okay, you have to do the inevitable at some point. Do it now. Yeah. And so I see Cody losing and chasing after it. I don't know when he'll get it back, because again, I don't know when several of these shoes are going to drop, but I think that just makes it more fascinating, and you just have more fascinating options at your disposal if you make John Cena your champion.
Yeah.
And if you have him have that moment where he passes Flair and it's supposed to be this big thing, but like everyone's unhappy, then that just adds to Cena's hatred, because again, it just makes his case right that everyone was being fake about it or whatever. They never really liked him. So again, another possibility that opens up when you have Cena do this. And also, he's going to get 17. When else would he get it?
Mm-hmm.
God.
Exactly. And I know Cody asked Stephen A. Smith on First Take today to be his manager. So if that happens, then he's definitely losing.
Oh, God. Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
Yeah, get ready for 2028, brother.
God.
We're already in a simulation, man. Just wait till for President Stephen A. Smith. I was joking about that at work. President Stephen A. Smith. I think John Cena is winning. I think your reasons are all valid. Would I put it against WWE to fuck us and Cody wins? No. Absolutely not. I don't know when they plan on doing 17. I don't know if they plan on doing 17. But I know what the fans want. They want to see John Cena win. They want to see in this final year what a John Cena heel run can be. You kind of have it set up. His first feud, Randy Orton. At some point, he feuds with CM Punk. You know, I don't know if you want to do the one last Roman match, but you obviously can. Styles. You could do Styles. You could do Rey Mysterio. You can do
Rollins
a
again.
Rollins again. You could do a lot of these younger folks that you won't ever be able to get him and Gunther. You could do all these folks that you won't ever be able to wrestle again. But if he loses, that kind of eliminates the excitement for that, and he goes right back to being a babyface.
Yeah. So
I don't think that benefits anybody. And yeah, I do think Cody needs to take a break. Cody hasn't had a break since he came back from injury in 2023. Do I think Cody's going to take a break? No, because like you said, he is a madman. He is a crazy person. All he does is work. I would love for him to go and be a family man for a little bit. Come back when you're ready to chase. Because he is great at that chase, like you mentioned. And, you know, it's been so long since we've seen him chase, because he's been a champion for the last year. I think he's been a great champion, you know, despite people like, oh, it's such a, you know, they lined up. Cody's had a hell of a run. And the guys that he's been in the ring with have been quality guys. Maybe save for Logan Paul. But it's time. The time is now. To put it plainly. The crowd's going to be there, and they're going to be all for Cena, and they're going to be all for whatever Cena does with Rock. Give them what they want. That's all I got to say. Is there anything else with this WrestleMania? Things you would like to see? Fucking special guests. Unfortunately, we'll probably see Travis Scott. Do you think Drake's going to show up? I don't know. Anything else in this show that excites you? Hopefully not.
No, I mean, it'll be cool to see the Hall of Famers. It'll be cool to see Luger, not so much, you know, Triple H, who's going to be on the show a million times anyway. But yeah, it'll be cool to see Michelle McCool get honored. You know, Luger seems like he's trying to walk. I think that'd be a cool thing if he's able to walk a little bit. I know he's been working with DDP quite a bit. So that would be
Is it DDP inducting him?
Yeah. Okay. I guess they didn't even ask for Sting, which, I mean, whatever. That's the whole thing. It's stupid both companies to not. That should be a given that they can just do that. But
they were able to get Jim Ross to do this documentary, but we can't get, you know, that makes no sense. Sting's not
exactly a performer. So, like, but yeah, I mean, there'll be some celebrities there. I don't think there's a, you know, slam dunk kind of go-to guy like Brandon Graham and Jason Kelsey last year, but like, you know, maybe George Kittle shows up for Penta. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if it was Brandon Graham, like, it would absolutely fit in because those are the three that this fucking city can't get over. You know, unfortunately, you're not going to bring out Larry Johnson and Stacey Augmon and the ghost of Jerry Tarkanian to come do a spot.
Yeah, I mean, again, I imagine you'll see George Kittle there because Penta and Bayley are wrestling on the same night.
Roman's night one, so.
Yeah.
There'll be
some celebrities that pop up. I mean, hopefully it's some good celebrities, not like the people they bring out for the Netflix shows where I haven't heard of any of them.
Yeah. I wish Caleb Williams would have showed up at WrestleMania instead of United Center. Why'd you waste your money, dog? Why did you waste your money? So all that fucking money you got, you wasted on the Chicago Bulls, you fucking loser. Oh, man. That is the WrestleMania preview show of Ruthless Aggression. This has been a fun one. Hopefully it's a fun show, man. Please follow us on the Barber's Chair. We are a week away from the NFL draft. Who will the Bears take at 10? Who will the Falcons take at whatever pick the Falcons got? Well, we got a couple shows that you can follow. 79th and Hallis, our official Bears podcast. You can also check into Not Gonna Hold You when Scott's talking about the Bears and now soccer. So also, I guess if you're a Champions League fan, please tune in to I'm Not Gonna Hold You, where we are doing extensive Champions League coverage. Go Barcelona. And then King's Ransom, our Falcons pod, please check in for that. If you want more wrestling content to get you ready for WrestleMania, First Black Champ, our baseball show, High and Outside, we got there's a new episode coming out tomorrow, I believe. Actually, I gotta get that off to Scott. Good Lord. No, he sent that today. Tomorrow. So by the time you're listening to this, it's probably up. I can't remember what day it is because I got a flight tonight at 9 o'clock on Thursday. I will be landing in Las Vegas at midnight on Friday, Pacific time. So we'll see what I end up getting into at the Sahara, you know. But hey, man, I appreciate you guys. Rob and Chris for joining me every week. This is our, ninth WrestleMania of the show?
I think so.
Eighth or ninth, maybe. We've done a lot of these preview shows. To still be doing this, man, you guys are wonderful. I appreciate the hell out of you guys. And thank you guys listening for rocking with us. We hope you enjoy WrestleMania. And if you don't, enjoy the party. That's kind of all I can say about that because we're going to be partying a lot in Las Vegas. All right, let's get out of here. Thank you guys so much for joining us. For Rob and Chris, I'm Pierce. We'll see you guys to recap WrestleMania. Be good.